Hello and croeso, welcome to this week's episode of Welsh Murders and Mysteries. I'm Mags, Keisha's co-host and the non-Welsh one. I am going to be the spooky, strange and all-around mystery side of this podcast, and this week we are going to be talking about the very mysterious Mary Lloyd. Sources will be available in the show notes. Imagine this. It's a cold winter's night in Cymru. You are spending a dark evening relaxing with your family by the fireside when you hear it. Shouting and singing, the clacking of teeth. The women of the house lock the doors and windows and hide inside. And outside your front door you hear, "Whoa, Mary!" And then comes the knock. You listen as the people outside sing for entry to your home, and you reply in song and verse, telling them all the reasons why they cannot enter, and they reply, pleading to be allowed in. And it goes on until you are finally unable to rhyme out a reply. And so you open the door to the group, only to be met by a figure, draped in a white cloth and decorated with colourful ribbons, bottle bottoms for eyes, clacking the teeth of her horse skull at you. The Mary Lloyd is here. You let her in, and she and her troop have some cake and ale, welcomed warmly by your family. She takes a liking to your daughter and chases her around the room until the troop eventually calms her down. Your house is cleansed of the bad of the past year and left clean for the new. And then the Mary goes on her way to another home or two. So where does the Mary Lloyd actually come from? And is she really fold of the starry skies, as the Ballad of the Mary Lloyd suggests? The true origins of the Mary Lloyd are something of a mystery. Some sources say that she predates Christianity, while others say that there is a folkloric tradition that she comes from the pregnant mare who was removed from the stable so that Mary could give birth to Jesus. And this mare subsequently wandered the land looking for somewhere to birth her foal, and somehow ended up in Wales. Or that she was even the donkey which Mary rode upon. A paper from 2018 examining the Mary Lloyd states that there's no evidence to show that the Mary Lloyd tradition existed before the 19th century, and even now, modern traditions are not the same as those from the 19th century. But counter-arguments have been made that the Mary Lloyd stems from older traditions that were themselves adapted. The Mary is a Welsh tradition, but has similarities with the Hoodning in Kent, the Old Tup in Derbyshire, and the Broad in the Cotswolds. All are traditions based in groups of poorer people trying to find money and food during winter by entertaining people. The homeowners would get blessings and goodwill in exchange for the food or money given to the troops. This practice was known as wassailing, coming from washail, meaning to be well or in good health, which grew into a Twelfth Night tradition. Christmas carolling could be seen as the modern equivalent. Traditional wassailing was led by a wassail king and queen who led the troop of merrymakers, and the Mary Lloyd could be seen to fit the role of that leader. The Mary Lloyd is something of a beloved character, despite it being a tradition that seemed to be dying out by the 1960s, following some persecution and criticism of the tradition. This persecution began around 1852, with the Reverend William Roberts attempting to discourage the practice of the Mary Lloyd, but his efforts backfired, because he wrote down in detail the description of the Mary Lloyd and several verses of her song, keeping them for future curious generations to find. With the wide reach of social media and a resurgence of interest in old traditions, the Mary is regaining popularity. She was even used in an artwork in Cardiff that appeared in 2022 with a Welsh slogan saying, "Dim certhoriaeth ar blaned farw," which I hope I didn't mangle, and means "no music on a dead planet," and with the idea of supporting sustainability in the music industry. The Mary Lloyd has even travelled as far afield as Canada, Australia and the US, which has caused some to wonder if the Mary Lloyd is losing her Welshness. One of the things I found quite interesting while researching the Mary is the Ballad of the Mary Lloyd, written by Vernon Watkins in 1941, If you haven't read it, I do recommend taking a look. It is a really, really cool poem, and it's very dramatic, and it's just wonderful and kind of gives you the spirit of the Maori. I'm actually going to use some quotes from the poem in this episode because I particularly loved it. Starting with this one. Betrayed are the living, betrayed are the dead. All are confused by a horse's head. So what is the Maori Lloyd? The first written record of the Maori Lloyd is from a tour through part of North Wales in the year 1798 and at other times by J. Evans from 1800. And it was famously practiced in Glamorgan and Gwent. Despite the mention in that book being a book about North Wales, the tradition is held to be one of South Wales. Evans' 1804 book regarding a tour through South Wales in 1803 gives more details regarding the custom. The Maori is traditionally a horse skull on a 5-foot pole decorated with bells, runes and coloured ribbons, occasionally having baubles for eyes. Once the eyes were made with the bottoms of glass bottles, which just adds a whole level of spooky for me, and she has a spring-loaded jaw to enable the clacking of her teeth. She had black cloth sewn to represent her ears, and she has a white cloth draped over her. And the person acting as the Maori Lloyd, usually a man, walks underneath this cloth as she and her troop travel from house to house. There is a notable difference in a town in Pembrokeshire where they used a canvas sheet sewn together and stuffed with straw and with eyes made out of buttons and a pitchfork stuffed into the canvas and straw, and that was marched around the village. The troops sing songs and sometimes play the fiddle, and she was sometimes accompanied by a Punch and Judy show. The Maori usually appeared from December to mid-January, which reflects something of the old Twelfth Night tradition, but some sources state that she appeared from All Hallows Eve until January, but particularly in Christmas week, showing that the dates of her appearances varied throughout South Wales. Old Twelvey traditions from the Julian calendar have the Maori appearing close to the 13th of January. The Maori Lloyd has several names in Welsh, which I am not going to mangle, but the most common translation of her name is the Grey Mare. She's sometimes also known as the Grey Mane or the Grey Mary, but no one is quite sure of the origin of her name. She is also sometimes referred to as a Whare Lloyd, with the M becoming a F due to the Maori being a feminine noun, but no single explanation has actually been found as to her name. It has been suggested that the Mary of her name comes from the mare of nightmare, because in medieval English the pronunciation of mare was Mary. Lloyd can be taken from other medieval expressions meaning holy, and her name can therefore be translated to Holy Mary as well, which does follow an association with so-called Mary rituals, where villagers were drinking to Mary and would ask people to open the windows and open closed doors, akin to the Mary Lloyd song asking for entry. The folklorist Mary Trevelyan also writes that she has been told by some that the Maori Lloyd was, in the 17th and 18th centuries, called the Grey Death, the symbol of the dying or a dead year. So you might be wondering, why is the Maori a horse and why is it a skull? So horses were important in Cymru and Celtic Britain, and the Grey Mare translation links the Maori Lloyd with the pale horses of Celtic and British mythology. Prime example being the white horse that Rhiannon rode in the Mabinogion, or the Uffington white horse. White or pale horses were said to be able to cross to the other, or the underworld, and horses were symbols of fertility and abundance. Because the Maori Lloyd's origins are so murky, we don't actually know why it's specifically a horse skull, beyond the logic that if the correct translation is the Grey Mare, it would obviously have to be a horse skull to fit the title. It has been noted that a donkey skull or a cow skull could be used if no horse's skull was available. And interestingly, in the equestrian world, you don't ever refer to a horse as white. They're usually just called greys, and that could explain why she's not called the White Mare. Her skull was buried in the ground for a year to prevent theft and to prevent yellowing of the bone, or the skull could be prepared in lime to give it the distinctive spooky white colour. There is one telling of the Maori being found stored in a cupboard under the stairs, and I can only imagine coming upon that in the dark if you weren't expecting her to be there. The skull could also be carved from wood if there were no skulls available, and modern depictions of the Mary Lloyd use cardboard and paper for her head. You can find them online with a design provided by Track, but the original skulls, the traditional skulls, were usually sourced from local farmers. There are traditions across the UK that bear similarities to the Mary Lloyd, such as the Poor Old Hoss in Richmond in North Yorkshire. In this tradition, the Poor Old Hoss is dressed in black, including the horse's skull, and also calls in at pubs and shops, again accompanied by a troop, but in this case they are known as the Huntsmen, and they all wear holly crowns. Like the Mary, having the hoss enter your shop is considered good luck, but the song regarding the hoss is a bit darker than the Mary's, and the hoss laments the ageing of a horse and encourages horse owners to look after their poor old horse before the hoss itself actually laments its old age and concludes that it has to die, and it's then beaten by the huntsman's crops until it lays dead on the pavement before it's revived and continues on to reenact the performance elsewhere. Like the Mary, this tradition suffered a lapse and a revival. Other iterations are seen in the Hooden Horse tradition of Eastern Kent, which visits specifically on Christmas Eve and uses a wooden horse's head decorated with ribbons and rosettes. It's mounted on a pole and draped in a dark cloth. Again, this tradition almost died out, but had a post-war revival. The existence of animal skull rituals dates back centuries, with St. Augustine declaring, "If you ever hear of anyone pursuing this extremely filthy practice of dressing like a horse or deer, punish him most severely," in the 4th century. But given that you can still get a visit from the Mary, it's safe to assume that St. Augustine's instructions were ignored. But again, the origins of the Mary and why it's a skull are still enigmatic. A custom called the skull giving has been suggested as being related, and this is a ritual that occurs on May Day Eve, as opposed to around Christmas or midwinter, with young men acquiring a donkey skull and hanging it above or on the door of the house of the woman they wish to discredit, with that woman's name written on the skull, which is a slightly creepy but very interesting tradition in itself. Again, we don't have a full explanation as to why the Mary Lloyd uses a horse's skull for her appearance. So what does the Mary Lloyd do? The Mary Lloyd and her merry dancers wander around a village or town causing havoc and noise and try to get into people's houses by asking permission to sing and then engaging in an exchange of wits and insults called a punko in Welsh, and this has been likened to a modern day rap battle. Some areas stick to the verses provided by Reverend Roberts, while some improvise the verses. It was tradition to improvise the verses, but as the number of native Welsh speakers has died down, so did the punko. I can only hope that as more people learn Welsh, the tradition will come back, because I think it would be quite interesting to see a real life punko where people are just coming up with Welsh on the spot. It just sounds really fascinating and amazing to me. But I also do have a weakness for languages. Once inside the home, the group drinks and eats some food, and the Mary causes a little mischief. She chases the occupants, tries to steal things, sometimes bites them, while she pays particular attention to the women of the house. And the Mary's presence chases away the bad spirits and ill will of the previous year, leaving space for the good of the incoming new year. While she might seem like a nuisance if you're only hearing the story, not to me, I would love a visit from her, but I don't think she comes all the way over into London. Having the Mary in your home is actually seen as a blessing for the new year, and even seeing her approaching a home or an inn or a pub is considered good luck. So she was usually let in, despite it seeming that the aim of the game would be the opposite. So the Mary is kept under control by her ostler Smart, who leads her around, and a guard of around 6 people in her troop, and they were all required to be skillful in forming rhymes due to the rap battle that occurs. The troop were required to be well-dressed, wearing ribbons and rosettes, and sometimes carrying a bucket or bag to collect the gifts from the homeowners, and traditionally, if money was collected, it's donated to a local cause. If she is accompanied by Punch and Judy, it's Judy's job to extinguish any candles and sweep the hearth, and occasionally the occupants of the house away from the Mary if they get too close, to banish evil spirits from the house. So there are 6 different types of Mary Lloyd song, but we're not going to jump into all of them. And not all of them are sung in every visit or in every village. The most common song is called Wal Dimma Nin Duad, aka the Canifari Lloyd song. And it's a staple of the visit of the Mary, but punko, again, as I've said, is not as common as it used to be. You can find the lyrics to Weldimma Ninduad online, and there will be links in our show notes. I found a particularly beautiful recording on the National Museum of Wales website, which is also linked, and I highly recommend it if you want to hear how the song was sang in yesteryear. It was recorded, I believe, in the 50s, so it's just the voice of the past speaking to us to add that extra spook factor. WeLearnWelsh.com tells us that the male troop is usually outside the house, while the female cohort is inside the house. The song is traditionally sung in the two different parts. It's kind of singing and response, which just makes it that much more entertaining because it has to, like, everyone has to engage, and I find that really cool. If you are interested in learning more about the songs and the punko, you can check marilloyd.co.uk, which explores it in detail with translations of the verses of the song, starting with the first one, which, again, the song is called Weldimma Ninduad, which in English translates to, the full verse, not just the name of the title, translates to, "Well, here we come calling in innocent friendship to ask your permission, to ask your permission, to ask your permission to sing." And the song then continues with those inside the house asking how many there are outside singing and exchanging the verses and the insults, and the battle ensues. If you are interested in seeing the Mary Lloyd tradition yourself, there are quite a few places that have kept it up or brought it back. But as stated before, the Welsh immigrants have carried the tradition with them to as far away as Australia, the US and Canada, and they do their own thing. There's one that I'm particularly interested in seeing that was actually mentioned in a 1935 article, which is in Llanganwed, near Maesteg, which I'm very keen to go and visit. We were supposed to go this year, but then train strikes and all sorts happened, so we couldn't go, which I was very sad about because I was very keen to see the Mary Lloyd. You can see them in Chepstow. You can see the Mary at the London Welsh Centre, which was quite an interesting one. And you can also see the Mary visiting at St Fagan's National Museum in Cardiff, which has maintained visits since the 1980s. So I hope you have enjoyed this episode. I hope I've given you some really interesting information. If you do want to do your own research, I do recommend it. It's a really, really fascinating topic. And I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Welsh Murders and Mysteries, and that you will join Kay and myself on another episode. Hwyl fawr, and see you next time.